This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Mr. Trump, you're running against a rigged political system and a rigged economy. Bernie Sanders is running against a rigged political system and a rigged economy. You have a lot of animosity and distrust for Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders clearly has a lot of animosity and distrust of Hillary Clinton. Would you take a few minutes to talk to him and consider him as your running mate?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. You know, the one thing that Bernie Sanders and I have in common, two things, and I do have much bigger crowds than him, but that's okay. But we have the crowds.
I actually do.
Joe knows that, and Mika knows that. But he is second. I will say that. He's above any other Republican. But I will say this. We have one thing very strongly in common. We know that the United States is being taken advantage horribly on trade deals. The difference between Bernie and myself is that I know how to make those trade deals fantastic, and he doesn't. He has no clue.
But as your number two, he can watch and learn from you.
But he's got too many other things in the bag. No. But I will tell you, Nicole, and I mean this 100%, and you saw that in many of the primaries where they do the polls. If Bernie loses, which he will because his system is rigged very badly, frankly, he should run as an independent. Bernie should definitely run as an independent. But Bernie, his people are going to vote, big percentages of the Bernie people are going to vote for Trump. You watch.
All right. Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Donald.
Thank you very much.
Wow. She's just getting started.
Well, you know, this is how silly it's become. I mean, you know, she asked a question like that, you know, like Bernie Sanders, come on, you know. This is when you've been overexposed and you get to ask those silly questions like Bernie Sanders being your VP. I think, Scott, if there was any way that Hillary and Bernie could get together, I think that really puts them in a strong position and makes them quite formidable just in the raw numbers. I mean, forget about whether or not it makes sense, between the two. It's just about how bad do you want to win the White House, huh?
I think if Bernie does do that to where he becomes her vice president, I think he loses a lot of his supporters because then that becomes him. No longer is he fighting right now. I think he's getting people that are because he's fighting against the establishment, and people see Hillary as the establishment, even though he's been there for 30 years in the government. There's no more.
But he could probably, afford to lose half and still be ahead of it, and it would create some interesting deal. But again, I appreciate that Donald Trump threw out the independent third party. I mean, he's independent anyway, and you know, it's like, hey, go start a third party. I love that possibility.
Yeah, I like that possibility as well. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I know he's getting a lot of support right now, a lot of funding coming from his supporters. But to actually start the actual next portion of this campaign trail, it's going to cost a lot more than $12 or $24 from your supporters.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, yeah, and Hillary's been gearing up for a long time. This is why today even is a millionaire day. You know, today's millionaire day. Did you know that?
Be a millionaire day.
Yeah, so that's the deal.
I'm gonna, as soon as I get the check, I'm gonna run to the bank and cash it quick. And,
well, I'm not sure how we can be a millionaire day or be a millionaire today with all the regulations and things that our government continues to do to thwart business and thwart that possibility of becoming a millionaire. I guess the only way you can be a millionaire is you may have to consider some things that might be more illegal than legal, you know. Also, I thought it was interesting today because today's Pick Strawberries Day too. I can tell you that's what did it for me, picking strawberries.
It's the little things, Bill. You just get extra cheese on the burger. You know, that's going to cost you 25 cents, but you're a millionaire today.
Well,
you
that's
do
it.
That for yourself.
You can handle it. You might as well take advantage before all the robots come in and there go your $15 an hour jobs. But that's a whole other story. It's Bill Martinez here, 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up. Stay with us, America.
Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there before your very eyes. Michael Shulman is with us right now. He's a contributor and arts editor at the New Yorker. His work has appeared in the New York Times, The Believer, and other publications. He lives in New York City, one of God's favorite cities, no doubt. Michael Shulman, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Hi.
Hey, thanks for coming on. What a great topic, Meryl Streep, for you to write about your latest book, Her Again, Becoming Meryl Streep. Tell us what motivated you to write this book.
Well, I've always been a big admirer of her work. I do think she's the greatest actress of her generation. And I really wanted to explore what her early years were like. You know, who was she before she was this greatest living actress, Queen of Hollywood figure we know now. So I decided to explore her 20s and to sort of trace her coming of age as an actress.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for you to do this and break this down, I mean, you found a lot of interesting things. You know, like anybody, you know, especially that chooses to go into the acting profession, I mean, it's not easy, and there was no question she had an exceptional talent early on. But like anything that's worth fighting for, you've got to be prepared for the fight, don't you?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You know, she did always have this innate talent, this incredible ability to mimic and to sort of have insight into other people. Strangely, when she was a teenager in suburban New Jersey, she had this talent, but she didn't really know how to use it yet. So she wanted to be a very a pretty popular high school girl, and so she studied women in women's magazines like Cosmo and 17, and she sort of morphed herself by sheer will into this kind of cheerleader, blonde, glamorous, popular girl. And she, by the end of high school, she was elected homecoming queen. So it was kind of like being chosen best actress of her high school. And it was only later in her career that she learned sort of what she cared about and what she wanted to fight for as an actor.
Well, Michael, when you were thinking about writing about Meryl Streep, you were very interested in her. And as you mentioned, you decided to focus on her early years, the root of the talent of this brilliant woman. And as you started to do that, did the curtains open up wide for you and say, this is it, this is what I need to do?
Well, I felt a very, it was a total labor of love for me. I loved delving into her life story. I think she's one of the most famous people in the world that people know very, very little about. You know, how did she learn acting? How did she become this person? It almost seems like her success around the end of the 70s was, this overnight fame. And yet, I had just a terrific time. I talked to over 80 people who knew her back in in the 70s, classmates, directors, teachers, some old boyfriends. I went around the country and did archival research, reading old letters.
Wow.
And all sorts of stuff. And it was so much fun just to piece together the story of how someone so iconic became that way, and also who she was, before she was a celebrity, just when she was just this working actor living in downtown New York City.
Why was she motivated to become an actor?
Well, she started acting in high school, really. She started singing, actually. That was her first love. She was training to be an opera singer with this famous voice teacher. And she starred in the high school musicals. But it wasn't until she got to Vassar for college that she really fell in love with acting. She was cast in Strindberg's drama, Miss Julie. She was cast as Miss Julie. And she went on in 1969 starring as this great dramatic heroine. And it was not only the first serious role she had ever been in, it was the first serious play she'd ever seen. She had never been exposed to, any sort of real serious drama aside from, Broadway musicals. And it kind of opened up her emotional world and allowed her to access these parts of herself that she had never even realized were there. The way she describes this moment, it was like this complete awakening.
Yeah, there's something about the doors of destiny when they open up to you. They're inarguable, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except that she also was really undecided about whether acting was a career that she could pursue. Even while she was at the Yale School of Drama, when she was 24 or 25, she was still questioning whether this is something she could really pursue. At some point, she thought she would be an environmental lawyer. She had this plan to go to law school, but she slept through the exam. So she wound up continuing with acting. But I think we can imagine her as a lawyer. She'd be a killer lawyer.
Yeah, without a doubt. When did it turn for her? When did she finally, convince herself in her own mind that acting was for her and this is what she needed to pursue?
I think it was when she got out of Yale Drama School, which is obviously a really prestigious place, but it was a really difficult, stressful environment. She came to New York City, and she was immediately scooped up by Joseph Papp, who was this legendary theater producer who ran the New York Shakespeare Festival. And he put her on Broadway. He put her in Shakespeare in the Park. He put her in plays in the public, and she completely fell in love with him. He was a mentor to her. And I think that's when she really started to realize that she was professionally an actress and that she had a home in the New York theater scene. But she still didn't think that she was a movie star. She didn't think she was pretty enough. And it wasn't until really the late 70s, Kramer versus Kramer, Manhattan, The Deer Hunter, that she found her way into movies.
Well, I was just going to say that Kramer versus Kramer, boy, that really kind of opened the world up wide open to her and said, who is this magnificent woman playing opposite Dustin Hoffman?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a total breakout role for her. Mm-hmm. It was her first Academy Award. She was on the cover of Newsweek. She suddenly became the Meryl Streep that we think of today as sort of synonymous with, great actress. Mm-hmm. But it really took her all through her 20s to reach that place, to become a movie star, in part because it wasn't what she was pursuing. She thought of herself as, an actress first and not a celebrity. She was never someone who pursued fame for fame's sake, as I think we see with some other people.
Well, Michael, we had heard about the contention that was between her and Dustin. What did you discover?
Yeah, so it's long been sort of hinted at that Meryl and Dustin did not get along making Kramer versus Kramer. And I, in my research, really found out what I think the roots of that were. Partly it's that they were such different kinds of actors. Dustin was a really intense sort of method actor who felt like in order to play something on screen, you had to feel it yourself. You had to draw on your own pain, your own experiences. But he also felt like he should elicit that in his co-stars. So the second day of shooting, they were about to go out and shoot the scene where Joanna leaves Ted Kramer at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. And right before the scene started, Dustin slapped her across the cheek, just to get her upset, to get her surprised and shocked and riled up and in tears. And, you know, she was not that kind of actress. She's Meryl Streep. She can draw on any emotion. Yeah.
You don't need to slap her.
Doing it by imagination.
Exactly. Well, congratulations on the book, available at all the usual places. Her again, Becoming Meryl Streep. Real quick, Michael, we got about 15 seconds. Your favorite Meryl Streep movie?
Oh, it's a tie. Kramer versus Kramer and The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, good fun. What a great book and great insight on Meryl Streep. You just have to love her, and people
thank
do.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. On Bill Martinez Live, Michael Shulman, it's 15 after.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I have maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10 Tuna Chew weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10 Tuna Chew could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
A different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says,
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, as always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Find out about the 275-plus markets that we're in that you can hear us on. Also on your smartphone via TuneIn Radio and around the world via WWCR with our shortwave affiliate. Thank you for being with us. You know, America today has 99 nuclear plants, including 20% of its electricity reliability without emitting carbon. But increasingly, they are at risk at premature closing. The risk of losing well-running nuclear plants is not an abstract concern, ladies and gentlemen. Nuclear plants are closing, or likely to, in several states across the country, and will be replaced mostly by burning natural gas and coal, which will pump more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. There is an urgent need to develop policies that will prevent additional premature plant closures. Now, to combat this, the Department of Energy is sponsoring an afternoon-long summit of experts and stakeholders on May the 19th to discuss the concerns confronting at-risk nuclear power plants and the unintended consequence that arise from early plant retirements. Preserving the existing nuclear plant fleet is imperative to any credible plan to reduce carbon emissions, but additionally, the plants are economic engines in their host communities. Now, here to help us understand and break it all down for us is the Senior Vice President of Communications for the Nuclear Energy Institute, Scott Peterson. Scott, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Well, Bill, thanks for having me today.
Hey, thank you for coming on to understand this. I mean, whenever we talk about energy, there are varying perspectives on this. And for us, it's the search for truth, no matter where it leads. So I appreciate you coming on and explaining, first of all, some of the objectives of the summit.
Well, thank you. You know, electricity is easy, seems easy for a lot of people who just flip the switch or plug in, but it's behind the scenes, it's incredibly complicated and getting more complicated today in electricity markets. So one of the things that the Secretary Moniz is going to do at the summit today is look at the patchwork of federal and state policies that we have across the country for electricity markets. They've been changing and changing rapidly in the last decade, and with the advent of low-cost natural gas, with mandates for renewables that are anywhere from 25 to 40% in some states, that's putting additional pressure on other electricity sources, including nuclear energy. Mm. And so at a time where nuclear energy is most important to us as a country, it's the highest reliable electricity source on the grid, and it produces 63% of all of our carbon-free electricity. So while we're trying to both maintain the reliability of our system and make our air cleaner, we've got to find a way to continue the operation of these nuclear power facilities.
Well, I think people are surprised to hear that we have 99. You know, we hear so little of nuclear facilities this day, which is a good thing, right?
That's right. Absolutely. They're operating at the highest levels of safety and reliability than we ever have been in this country. So you have almost 100 nuclear power plants producing one-fifth of our power, more reliably than any other source. But the real value to consumers is having those nuclear power plants as part of a portfolio approach to producing electricity. So the more fuels you have providing that electricity, the more benefit you have to consumers in keeping prices low. And the real value there for nuclear is that we're producing power 24/7 every day of the year. And so we're there on the coldest days, we're there on the hottest days, and we're really powering economic growth across the country.
Exactly. Well, let's go back just a little bit here, Scott, because you mentioned the reliance on natural gas and coal. How do you see that impacting the environment?
Well, if we're looking at the federal and state level at reducing carbon emissions by 2030, and if you have that as a goal, and many of us do, one of the things we really have to do is look at the electric sector, which traditionally, you know, has emitted a lot of carbon from coal and natural gas plants. So how can we change that portfolio to keep the balance of fuels that we like, but maybe readjust the percentage of what we get from those? Mm-hmm. So at a time where nuclear energy and renewables need to play a greater role in our electricity system, there's a greater threat to taking nuclear plants offline, not because of safety, not because of reliability, but because of the economic pressures that electricity markets are placing on them. Mm-hmm. And that's due to really a patchwork of policies that's been enacted over the last 10 or 15 years that aren't coherent. They don't benefit, don't recognize all of the benefits that nuclear power bring. So, for example, while renewables get subsidized for being clean, nuclear energy, which produces 63% of all of our clean power, gets no credit, zero credit for that in the marketplace. So all we're looking to do is make sure that those policies and those market forces are consistent across all fuel sources.
Well, and to your point here, Scott, when you've got several channels providing energy, and you've got several channels of sources, why not balance out that portfolio? That would seem to make a lot of sense, as opposed to driving an energy policy that's not quite yet there. You know, you take what you got, and then you feather these other things online, you know, a lot more responsibly. I think that's been some of the issue that we've discussed previously.
That's right. And you know, when you look at different electricity sources, you have nuclear and coal that can produce 24/7. Natural gas is becoming one of those fuel sources that can produce around the clock, but typically has been used in sort of a peaking way. So you bring gas plants on pretty quickly as you need them. And then renewables, produce when the sun shines and when the wind blows, but they don't in other times, and there's no storage for that electricity from those systems.
Exactly.
So you really have to balance, you know, the electricity sources that you have, make sure you have the power when you need it. And now with the Clean Power Plan being adopted by the Environmental Protection Agency, we really need to put this overlay of how can we best have the reliability of electricity that we need and the clean air that we want. And nuclear has got to be an important part of that.
Well, again, Scott, is the energy sector saying the feds are pushing this a little bit too quick? I mean, after all, we've come a long way, I think we would all admit, probably in the last 40, 50 years. And there has been, you know, positive benefit for the quote-unquote environmentalists and those saying, hey, look, we need to be more aware. And I think that it's demonstrated itself that, you know, the energy sector has been responsible. And, you know, we have a lot better air today than we had, gosh, when I was a kid growing up.
There's no question about that in terms of looking at the portfolio in the electricity sector today. It's much, much cleaner than it was in the 70s and 80s. Part of the reason for that is we've spent about $50 billion in taxpayer money encouraging wind and solar power, and the federal government will spend about half that much more by 2019. And so that support, coupled with state-level quotas under things like renewable portfolio standards, ensures the profitability of renewables regardless of the market price for electricity. Mm-hmm. With nuclear energy, we're competing against that market price every single day without subsidy. And so that's the challenge that we're facing. Our benefits are not recognized in the marketplace the way other sources are. So what the Congress, what the EPA and the Department of Energy, as well as state government leaders, will do is look at the policy pieces that are important that build a smart portfolio approach to a cleaner electricity system.
Right.
And that's got to mean more value in the marketplace for nuclear energy.
Scott, we've got about 30 seconds left here, and I want to ask you, we touched on this ever so slightly, but this is going to be huge, the impact of closing power plants on the communities. We've seen this in other examples, and it's devastating, isn't it?
You used the right word. That's the word I was going to use, because these plants are the economic engines of communities. So when they do close, they're devastating impacts, not only in jobs, but in the rest of the economic situation for those communities. A lot of times they're the largest taxpayers, so you're talking about funding for schools, libraries, and emergency services. So they have real impacts, not only to consumers and the environment, but to the people who live and work in those communities.
Well, Scott, we're out of time. I really appreciate you coming down and explaining this to us. NEI Senior VP of Communications, where can they go real quick, Scott, for more information?
NEI.org, very easy.
Scott Peterson, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Scott.
This is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners across the country are concerned about the economy and are taking a wait-and-see approach to growth as election year anxiety rises. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, only 29% of entrepreneurs are confident the national economy will improve in the coming year. Furthermore, 67% believe the presidential election will affect their business. More than half say the same for congressional elections. Small business owners also expressed increased concern about health care costs and the stock market. As a result, they seem to be pulling back on hiring and growth plans, which have both declined since last year. Rob Hilson, small business executive at Bank of America, discusses the findings.
The unusual nature of this election year appears to be impacting the outlook of small business owners for both their business and the economy. Nearly 6 in 10 entrepreneurs plan to keep headcount the same, and another 17% said they were undecided about hiring, suggesting that many are taking a wait-and-see approach.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Got to get you into my life.
It's that time, ladies and gentlemen. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And you want to be in the running for that Risen DVD, Blu-ray disc that we're giving away absolutely free. Send me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Say, hey, Martinez, put me in the hoppa. I want to be in the running for it. Hey, happy to include you in there and appreciate all the emails we have been getting. We've got a plethora of DVDs to give away, so don't hold back, okay? Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Nothing we'd love better than for you to be able to enjoy this movie in the comfort of your own home and share it with your friends. Great movie, one of the top 10. I guess it is one of the top 10 best-selling faith-based movies so far. Great job by the Aiello brothers, as we talked about them yesterday. Coach Kevin Collins is with us. He is recovering. And, Coach, it's just not right. I mean, your birthday is right around the corner, and you had to go in and have some surgery on the shoulder there, the old pitching arm. That's too many curveballs, buddy. That's what it was.
I guess so. But one thing I'd like to say about what to be coming on this show, because you allow, deviation from the menu. Mm-hmm. And everything is politics, but it can't be politics all the time. And sometimes... Exactly. Sometimes we need to make a couple of little brief stops. And I'd just like to take a minute to relate the fact that, hey, read the label when it comes to narcotic drugs that are supposed to be painkillers. Yes, they are painkillers, but, boy, the side effects are devastating. And I just went through four or five really rough days that I would not want to relive for anything. And it was just, I'm not blaming anybody. The doctor tells you to take these things, but you have to make informed decisions and you have to read the label, and you got to realize, wait a minute, this might not be the best thing for me. And that's what I wanted to impart to everybody out there. Just read labels. I'm in great shape.
Right. Well, we got to be cautious with that kind of stuff. I mean, I was talking to my mother about it, who turns 92 this year, Coach. And I do what my body tells me to do. If my body says it works, you know. And even then, you know, the whole idea of moderation as much as possible. I really think in those terms. And sometimes I know the doctors, and I get in trouble because I have one of my best friends is a doctor, and he says, Bill, you're going to get arrested one day for practicing, you know, medicine without a license, you know, because I know enough about this stuff. But I go, I'm like you. I go based on, you know, how my body feels and, you know, and to have 5 days, excruciating days like what you went through. And this is kind of a warning to everybody else. And I'm sure other people have probably gone through the same thing, Coach, is that, you know, we listen to the doctors and we do it and they mean well. But, you know, the proof in the pudding is when you know, you medicate yourself and you realize, whoa, I'm a bit loopy here. And, you know, the wife's taking some pictures of me and you could care less, right?
Yeah. Well, in a nutshell, to wrap it up, yes, it does take away the pain. But it doesn't stop there. It's kind of suggestive of the little mops in Fantasia that the unintended consequences are what takes over, and it makes life pretty miserable for you know a string of days.
Yeah, exactly. And for you, like you say, for 5 days. But no, I appreciate your reporting because this is life, Coach. This is what we all go through, and we're all, you know, going through this part of life together. You know, it's like I was telling somebody else the other day, it's kind of like what Yogi Berra said, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. And, you know, we're of that generation that has been more mindful. I mean, you've been an athlete all your life. You've been very active. So, you know, your body's a temple and you do everything you can to respect that. But it's, you know, the aging process is not for the faint of heart.
No.
Not at all. And speaking of faint of hearts, this political process is not necessarily for the faint of heart either. Fox's latest poll, Coach, shows that when it comes to the economy, the people are very confident that one Donald Trump can handle the economy. I got to tell you, I was really surprised, though, and it makes me wonder, you know, the rest of the report talked about Hillary's ability to manage nuclear weapon and foreign policy more effectively. I think, if anything, she's messed it up so badly. I she doesn't have a lot of credibility with me, and I understand Trump's the new guy, but I just trust that his business acumen is that he's going to get some strong people that know, you know, that know the job in much the same way that Ronald Reagan did. It wasn't Ronald Reagan was a total expert. He just got great people around him.
Yeah, I'm actually encouraged by that statistic that people think that because it says that they really haven't been paying attention, and Professor Trump is about to step to the podium and start to lecture the in a firm positive friendly way the electorate on the dangers that this woman represents. That a celebrity they could have taken that on TMZ, okay,
right.
So. But there isn't any there. You know, it's like, well, she's going to hit Trump hard back. She's going to hit him back hard. With what? About what?
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, I mean, look what's going on. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is doing everything she can to try to control this potential debate schedule. You know, Hillary does not want to go one-on-one with Donald Trump, though she says she does in a debate. I think this could be a messy situation because she's not going to be dealing with somebody like Bernie Sanders, who's, you know, going to want to treat her with kid gloves. I mean, he's going to let her have it.
Yeah, I made this point, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. Look, in a debate between the two of them, Trump will turn the debate into an interrogation that she has never tasted before, never felt, because she has always been treated by with kid gloves, and has always been the standard way of reacting when a Clinton gets nailed is you lie and obfuscate, and then the next time it ask me that question.
We've already talked about that. Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
Trump is better away with that. It's not going to work. And have you seen today the Washington Post now is jumping right into the fire that the New York Times just barely crawled out of? They got scalded with their ridiculous 20-page pile of fluff against Trump on women. Mm. And you have the Washington Post is saying, well, we're going to have 20 guys go after that. I mean, that, to me, that's like they're applying for a group award, a Wile E. Coyote award, because they're going to come up with nothing but beep, beep at the end of the day. And an opportunity for Trump to say, okay, now that you've given me my anal exam, how about bending?
I know what you're saying, and of course, Coach, you know, coming up in July as a lead-in, kind of a preamble to the Democratic convention, you've got Clinton Cash being, you know, released as a movie. And I was talking with Megan Barth earlier that I was surprised that Benghazi, 13 hours, didn't have a greater impact on people's perception of one Hillary Clinton. But this Clinton Cash is going to really expose her, and I don't know. I mean, this is going to be really tough. But, you know, like you say, she's so good at deflecting and obfuscating, she's going to really have to bring her A game out after this.
Well, maybe if you look, turning around a little bit, I saw Benghazi, of course, and it was very moving. And really, we came out of the theater saying, wow, this is an atom bomb that's been dropped in this woman. But you know what? In retrospect, it's just chipping away. I don't think that when the Clinton falls, I think that in the immediate aftermath, it's going to be difficult to put your finger on that one turning point. I don't think you're going to be able to find it right away. I think it's going to be the cumulative effect of things like Benghazi, Cash, Juanita Broderick, who is going to be Bill Clinton's worst nightmare.
Coach, we'll pick it up from. Let's pick up Juanita Broderick's story because I want you to get into that a little bit more, but we got to go to break. Coach Kevin Collins is with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
According to the Mayo Clinic, your bones are continuously changing. New bone is made and old bone is broken down. Now, when you're young, your body makes new bone faster than it breaks down old bone and your bone mass increases. Makes sense, doesn't it? Most people reach their peak bone mass at around 30. After that, bone remodeling continues, but you lose slightly more bone mass than you gain. Now, how likely you are to develop osteoporosis, a condition that causes bones to become weak and brittle, depends on how much bone mass you attain by the time you reach age 30 and how rapidly you lose it after that. The higher your peak bone mass, the more bone you have in the bank, and the less likely you are to develop osteoporosis as you age. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we focus on absorbability of bone-building calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, and boron. Try our 98% healthy body, bone, and joint pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Oh, well, he's very popular, yes. The Sportos, the Motorheads, Geeks, Bloods, Wasteoids, Dweebies, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Bill Martinez, live.
Kind of thought they were talking about Coach there for a minute, you know. He's such a righteous dude. Hey, we're giving you a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is Bill Martinez. It's about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Coach Kevin Collins is with us. And, Coach, right before we went to break, Juanita Broderick came up, and I want to give you a chance to fully address not only Juanita, but all the other women that have been abused at the hands of one Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Juanita Broderick is probably the tip of the sword here. In terms of what's going to happen as this attack on Bill Clinton and then the extension of that into Hillary Clinton unfolds, she was brutally raped by Bill Clinton, and the attitude that she describes from Bill Clinton before, during, and after the attack is just meshes very well with the attitude that he displayed in the Kathleen Willey situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that
right.
used as a 1-2 punch, it really sets up a domino effect here. Because just to reflect, to refresh people, in 1978, Juanita Broderick was the owner of a nursing home in Arkansas, and she wanted to curry political favor with the governor of her state, which was Bill Clinton, and mm-hmm. she wanted to get involved in his campaign. Anyway, one thing led to another, and she met him at a hotel, and they went to a room where she thought that they were going to privately discuss probably criminal activity in terms of bribes and, let's be honest, bribes and other circumvention of law. And mm-hmm. that didn't happen that way. It turned into a rape where he actually raped her. And this is if people don't remember the case, they remember the tagline. You better get some ice on that, as Clinton said to her after he was leaving, because he bit her on the lip during the attack. Now, take that and juxtapose it with Kathleen Willey, who was having financial problems She worked on the staff of the White House in broad daylight in the White House. She asked to have a private interview with Clinton when she had a chance to speak with him. What she wanted to say is, look, my husband is very ill. He lost
exactly.
His job. I need more hours. Can you get him a job? We're in financial trouble. You know, I'm a supporter of yours. And in response, Bill Clinton gropes her.
Yeah.
And gets her clothing into disarray, and she runs out crying. And there were people that saw this. So the women that think that she that they support Clinton, Hillary Clinton, are going to hear this, and they're going to start to ask questions. By the way, they already have. Look, the latest poll shows that Clinton leads Trump by 11 points with women. That's normal. That's the normal already.
Mm-hmm.
That's the normal spread. But what's
right.
Not is that he is up 22 points with men. So
yes.
There's nothing but upside for him.
Well, and the thing is, Coach, how Hillary stood by her man and went after the women. I mean, the reports are in extreme detail on what she did to, to berate these women and protect Bill at any cost. And I mean, whether it's Juanita Broderick or Willie, and that we've talked with on several occasions, I mean, you still sense the grief that they have within them when they talk about Bill Clinton. I mean, this is an unsettled issue, and this is why this thing will not go away. It's like any other lie that's perpetuated, Coach. It just doesn't settle. Because you cannot move on, because you just keep running over this, as Al Gore would call it, an inconvenient truth. And these inconvenient truths are going to absolutely derail this campaign for one Hillary Clinton, or it should anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's going to embarrass the older women who realize that they themselves have sold their own integrity and dump the proceeds at the feet of a woman who is an absolute monster. And it's going to chase some of them away from the polls. The younger women are going to look at Juanita Broderick right now as somebody's grandmother.
And exactly.
Did this animal raped this grandmother? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, how come we never...
And that's what you want back in the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other deal too, Coach, I think it's ridiculous every time, you know, Hillary brings up her husband as the leader of the economy. And it's like, obviously she's counting on a lot of young people not knowing history, not understanding that, look at Bill Clinton, you know, became a shell of himself there for about 2-3 months when Newt Gingrich came in with a contract for America. He realized his agenda was over. And to his credit, you know, he announced to everybody the era of big government is over. He began having a conversation bipartisanly with the Republicans and Newt Gingrich, and his legacy is in large part due to the Republicans and Newt Gingrich. And then she says, hey, I'm going to have my husband here because he knows how to handle the economy.
Yeah, and that's another asset that Trump has, in that he's going to turn that around and make the point that this is another example of the Clintons say anything to win, means of campaigning. Say anything, do anything, just as long as you stay in power. So here's the guy that rose to power on the horse of big government and now so quickly jumps off and gets in the back seat of a little Surrey and says, okay, here's how we're going to proceed.
Right. Well, Coach, isn't this a bit ironic? I mean, and this is why the establishment is going nuts, is you have an outsider like Trump that everybody wants to continue to underestimate. his branding, his position in the marketplace, and the message that he's carrying. And they just, you know, they're beside themselves to even begin to get their brain around the fact that he is resonating with now a growing majority of Americans.
Yeah, sure, sure. You know, right now, we all better pray that Comey does what I think he's going to do and back down and not indict her. I now, even though I was a great proponent of that, I do not want to see her indicted because this is the big fish on the hook. This is so many scores being settled. If she leaves, then Trump is going to win anyway. I don't care if they dug up FDR and ran him. Trump is going to win. But the thing is, this is an opportunity to put the Clintons in their place and smother their legacy because it was just a legacy of lies and deceit and criminality. So I want to see her stay on the hook.
Well, you know, and this might be the kind of thing that happens like with the Barack Obama administration. I've maintained that after he leaves office, then some of this stuff that has been kept in the in the dark rooms and behind closets is going to come screaming out. And maybe that's the situation, too, is that when Hillary is finally deposed, and I say deposed, you know, from her, you know, her position in light of the media and everything, that, you know, some of these things fall out of the closet, like, you know, whether it's Benghazi. But I think even bigger still is the Clinton Foundation, the quid pro quo, and the influencing, the influence peddling that they got away with, or seem to have gotten away with so far. And this is where I think this movie, this documentary that Peter Schweizer and company have put together, that's going to be released in July, is just, I don't know how she offsets all these negatives. And you know, you talk about the rapes and the abuse of women by Bill Clinton, and you know, Benghazi, the email investigation, you know, I mean, it is amazing. It's quite the study, Coach. You sit there and say, how can any one person, how can they possibly get around all this? But only the Clintons. I mean, they've established a whole new standard, Coach.
Yeah, well, so is Trump. And you got to remember what Bill Buckley said about debating an amateur. Never debate an amateur because he'll kill you every time. He doesn't know the rules. He makes them up as he goes along. And that's what Trump is doing.
Well, he's done that from day one, hasn't he? I mean, he has made up his own rules and go along. And then, you know, hey, even the media, I say, well, you got to understand, he's not a politician, right?
Hey, when I hear the music, we got to plug the site before we go.
Yeah, by all means, remind everybody of the new site, Coach.
TheCoachesTeam.com. We're fighting to get ourselves back up off the canvas. We had a tremendous crash. We had five or six hard, good years of the site before that just went away with a technical problem. Give us a look.
Yeah, we'll build it back up here. TheCoachesTeam.com. That's where you want to go. Coach, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.